loved us so much that he's coming again. Revelation chapter 1, verse 7 and 8, Jesus Christ is coming again. And I started to title this message, The Future is Here. The future is here. But I said, well, he's coming again. That's an old title for a message, whenever Jesus Christ shall appear again. And he's coming. Whether the world believes it or not, Jesus Christ is coming back. We see the world stage now, and we see all the politicians, and we see the complex problem that we have in our country and the complex problem that we have around the world, and everybody has got a solution. Everybody has got the answer. If you just let me on the throne, I will fix the problems of the world and fix the problems of the United States. But I assure you that they will not be able to fix the problems until the problems is over with, and that is sin. I don't care. You cannot make a good omelet out of a bad egg. And that egg is sin. And it'll never be corrected until sin is done away with. Jesus Christ is coming back. We find in Revelation chapter 1, verse 7 and 8, that Jesus Christ is coming back. Now, we know the second coming is of two phases. Jesus Christ, in the book of Thessalonians, the First Thessalonians, it tells us that Jesus Christ is coming in the air. And it says, those that are dead in Christ shall rise first. Those that remain as alive shall be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air and ever so be with the Lord. That is what we call the rapture. So you understand why we are longing for his coming. It is a resurrection, and his rapture is going to take place. That is the first phase of his second coming. And we shall be with Jesus Christ. We will go through the judgment seat of Christ, and then we'll be at the great supper. And there this is going on. We go by the judgment seat of Christ and the great supper. We know that they all hell will be broke loose on this earth, and it's called the Great Tribulation. We will not be in the Great Tribulation. We will be in heaven with Jesus Christ. We will be have that spiritual bodies, and also we'll have that physical body that God's going to fashion into his glory. And after that 7 years tribulation, there's going to be a second coming of Jesus Christ, the second phase of Jesus Christ. This time Jesus Christ is coming with his glory. He's coming with his mighty angel, and you and I are coming with him. He's going to be back on this earth. He will touch down again on this earth. And this verses 7 and 8 deals with our first and second coming of Jesus. Second coming, the first and the second phase of him coming back. The stages have been set. I'm telling you, for the last act in this country, in the world that you and I are living in, it has been amazing to me in the few years the Lord allowed me to live on this earth, how things has changed so rapidly. I always believed that things was going to change. It was not stay like they are. And when I was a young child coming along, it seemed like time poured like old cold molasses out of a jar. But I'm telling you now, it's like drinking water out of a fire hose. Things has changed even in my time. It's so fast, it's really even scary to me because I just cannot comprehend the changes took place in the country that I've lived, in the world that we're living in this day. And Jesus Christ said, when he's coming soon, that means he's coming rapidly, and it means that things are going to change very, very rapidly. Things are going to happen on the scenes of this world that you and I have never expected would happen, and maybe in our lifetime. I believe that we're living in the generation that's going to see Jesus Christ come back. I really do believe that. I might be in the grave. I might die today. I might die tomorrow. Jesus Christ might come back next week. But I tell you, I really do believe it soon, and I believe that we are the generations that's going to be alive whenever Jesus Christ comes for his church and we are raptured away. The dead in Christ shall rise first, and those who remain, I might be the one that's going to remain. I do not know, but I believe it's coming back. It's coming back fast. It says now in Revelation chapter 7 and chapter 1 verse 7 and 8, and it's dealing with the whole book of Revelation. In Revelation chapter 1 and verse 19, it's dealing with what time that has taken place already. And then chapter 2 and 3 is dealing with the church age that you and I are living in. From time Jesus Christ went back to heaven until Jesus Christ come back to rapture his church. It's dealing with that in chapters 2 and chapter 3. In chapter 4 and verse 1, that's talking about the rapture of church. From that time on, you will not see the church on earth anymore. And then the great tribulation breaks loose on this earth. And then Jesus Christ, at the end of that time, that Jesus Christ is going to come back with all his power and all his glory and all his splendor. And he's going to speak the word, and he's going to put an end to this bad egg that we have in our world today. It's called sin. And he's going to be revealed. The book of Revelation is not the book of Revelation of divine John. The book of Revelation is a book about Jesus Christ. You'll see Jesus Christ different in the book of Revelation than any other book of the Bible. We've known Jesus Christ in the gospel because he came to this earth and willing to die on the cross of Calvary for sinners like you and I. Jesus Christ went to that old tomb and he rose again and he went back to heaven. But you'll see Jesus Christ different in the book of Revelation because he'll be coming back with all his power and all of his glory back to this earth today, and people recognize who he is. In these verses of scripture, you understand that this real man, Jesus Christ, I'm going to tell you, the Son of God that is God, that all things was made by him and nothing was made except was made by him. And everything is coming to Jesus Christ. And people's wondering what this world is coming to. I'm going to tell you, it's coming to Jesus Christ. And it's coming very rapidly. It's coming very fast. And it says the whole world's going to see him. As we read these verses of scriptures, 7 and 8 is dealing with the second phase of his coming and also the first phase. And it says in verse 7, behold, he cometh with clouds. I mean, he's coming back again. He's already come the first phase, and he brings his children home. That is the church age. That's you and I today. And then it says, every eye shall see him. Well, that tells us about the second stage of coming, because everybody's going to see him. When he comes the first time in 1 Thessalonians, he's coming, but everybody is not going to see him. The church age, the rest of the people are going to explain it away why that there's so many people missing from this earth. But 2 Thessalonians tells us that he's coming back again with his saints to this earth. And then it says, every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindred of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. I am Alpha, I am Omega, the beginning and the end, saith the Lord, which is, which was, and which is to come, the Almighty God. Again, let us pray here this morning. Jesus Christ, we want to thank you, Lord, for your promise in the Word of God, that, Father, that you would come back. Lord, we know that they're going to be tribulation on this earth. They're going to be a great tribulation, Father, that we know that your Word promised us that we would not have to go through as a children and child of God. Father, we just want to thank you now for allowing us to understand, Father, that your promises stand, that you will not let us go through this terrible thing that's called the great tribulation here on this earth. But, Father, we know that it's soon, and very soon. Oh, Father, how bad that we need one another. How bad that we need to see the times that we're living in today. Father, how we need to open our eyes, and we pray here this day that the Holy Spirit of God let us understand that things are not going to keep going on the same rate they're going now, that things are going to be increased. It says, you know, in the end times of your holy word in the book of Daniel, Father, that we know that things are going to be increased, that knowledge is going to be increased, communication is going to be increased, and travel is going to be increased. Father, we're seeing this in the lives that we're living right now. But Father, we also know, God, one of these days that you're put an end to everything to help us understand, Father, how we pray that your children, that your people, oh God, will be on fire for you, can understand that we need a revival of a Father for each and every child of God that's born again, that may be ready and understand. You've told us in our word that there will be no excuse, oh God, for not being ready for Jesus Christ. There'll be no excuse for not knowing what's happening today. And if people will open their eyes and understand the blood-washed ones, the ones that's called by the name of Jesus Christ, Father, if they would open his book and read the book of God, we will find out, God, that they need each other. And, Father, they will be serving you more than they've ever served you before, because we're coming a day when we will not be able to serve you. That, Lord, that it be over with what you have given us this little time here on this earth. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this church this morning. We thank you, Lord, for your presence, God, that we have here today. And, Father, oh, how, God, that we thank you, Lord, that you have sent the Holy Spirit of God to open the hearts of those people that's here today, even my heart this day, and understand in our hearts sometimes there's some dark and weary things that need to be brought out, and Father, put on the blood of Jesus Christ. And Father, if they won here today that's never accepted you, if they won here today that's never walked down this aisle and say, I love Jesus Christ and I'll ask him to come to my heart and to save me, I want the world that Jesus know, the world that Jesus Christ is my Savior. We want to thank you for the men and the women here this day that's willing, oh God, to pray and to bow the need of Jesus Christ today. We thank you, Lord, for your presence and what you're going to do for the four saints of his service this day. And Father, we want to thank you in the precious and the holy name of Jesus Christ. the one that died on the cross for our sins, O God, that we may have life it more abundantly and have it eternally here this day. We thank you and we praise you in the precious name of our Lord and Savior. Amen and amen. One more time that Jesus Christ is about to open the curtains of the world and step upon the stages. The curtain is about to rise and Jesus Christ is going to step forth one more time upon this world. In John chapter 14, he says, I will come again. I will come again. This world has seen some great things whenever Jesus Christ walked on this earth. I mean, they've seen some great happenings about Jesus Christ. Well, you know that Jesus Christ was born the virgin and born there in Bethlehem, and what a great day it was when the wise men came to his birth. And it was a great day whenever Jesus Christ, the Son of God, was willing to leave glory and come down and be wrapped up into a little baby thing in the human flesh for you and I this day, and willing to grow up in this dark and weary world. And it says he come to die for sinners. He come to seek and to save those which was lost, and that includes you and I this day. But not only that great day that he came, will you understand that he grew up without sin, but then he went to the old cruel cross and was willing to take that cross upon his back and climb up Mount Calvary, and was being willing to stay on that cross of Calvary. What kept him on that cross of Calvary, I'm telling you, was the love that he had for you and I today. I'm going to tell you, he had the power to lay his life down. He had the power to pick it up again. He had the power to stay on that cross. Thank you, Lord, that you said it is finished, that you was willing to do your Father's work and stay on the cross, that I myself and you here this day and all my family and my loved ones and everybody I know have a place that's called heaven, that you went to my hell for me, you went to my grave for me, and for every person in this building here this day, if there hadn't been but one person on this earth, you, my friend, Jesus Christ, would have stayed on the cross and would have been willing to take that cruel cross and have died for your sin this day. So we want to thank you for that great happening, and one of these days he's going to come again. Oh, he's not going to come as a little baby thing. He's not going to come upon the cross, but he's going to come in revelation. He's going to come and he's going to be unveiled. Jesus Christ is going to be who he said he was. I'm going to tell you, it's just as good as telling you this morning that the future is here, that Jesus Christ right now is on his way back, and he very well can be, because all the signs have been fulfilled. What you're seeing today is a sign that's going to be fulfilled on the other side of the rapture and not on this side. He can come back before we leave this building. Yeah, I know that. People have been preaching that for 2,000 years. I know they've been preaching for 2,000 years. Paul says, you know, I believe he's going to come back in my lifetime. I believe old John on Isle of Patmos believed that Jesus Christ is going to come back in his lifetime. I don't know when Jesus Christ is going to come back, but I can tell you one thing for certain and sure, we're closer today than we've ever been before. We're closer today than we have ever been before. And it can happen in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. Revelation chapter 1:1, it says, the revelation, the unveiling of Jesus Christ must come shortly to pass. Come shortly. Old John penned this on the Isle of Patmos over 2,000 years ago, and that word shortly, it means rapidly. That means rapidly. Things are going to come to pass, as I said. It's going to come real fast. Things are already speeded up today. I believe the snowball is pushed over the hill, and it's getting bigger and faster all the time, and it's rolling down that hill. And that's reading it says in Hebrews chapter 10:25, not forsake the assembling of ourselves together in the manner of some is, but exhorting, encouraging one another, and so much the more as we see the day approaching. Any child of God that reads the Word of God, and we should read the Word of God, that know that things are changing very rapidly. We ought to know. God says, I've sent you a message in my Word to tell you that this world is going to come to Jesus Christ, that Jesus Christ is really going to come back one of these days. My son that went to the cross of Calvary, my son that was raised from that grave, my son that ascended back to heaven, my son one of these days is going to look over to the Father, and you know what? The Father is going to give him the nod of approval, and I'm going to tell you what, he's going to come back on the clouds. He's come back this earth again. I was not here when he come the first time, but I'm going to tell you what, I'm going to believe I'll be here when he comes the second time, because I believe he's coming very, very shortly. So Hebrews says 10:25, don't forsake the assembling ourselves together. Every church ought to be filled up across our nation this day. If people that's called by God, if they are really truly saved, I believe if they read that verse of statement in Hebrews chapter 10 and 25, that our churches ought to be full. But you know what? People is making a very, very bad mistake because, you see, they think they got plenty of time and they don't know how much time they have. I'm going to tell you that death waits on nobody. Whenever Jesus Christ comes back, I'm going to tell you a lot of people are going to be surprised to see Jesus Christ come back. But I'm telling you, he's coming back closer today than he's ever been before. The closer of coming back of Jesus Christ and the closer that he comes back, the more that we ought to be in the God's house, because we need each other more and more as we see that day approaching this day. But I'm going to tell you, the future is here. He's coming again. Why do we long for his coming? Why do we look for his coming? Because they're going to be a resurrection. They're going to be a rapture. They're going to be a revealing of Jesus Christ. He's coming to reign and he's coming to rule. This Jesus Christ, this same Jesus there, whenever he ascended up, he told his disciples, you know, this same Jesus, or those angels there, that you see him going in like manner, he shall come again. And it says a cloud received them out of their sight. This same Jesus is going to come in like manner. He's come with the clouds of glory and the Shekinah clouds of glory. I'm going to tell you, he's come with power upon this earth, and he's going to put an end of what you and I know, Lord, is for sin today. There will be no more sin. And after that 7 years of tribulation, then Jesus Christ is going to come back. He's coming back and riding on a horse of victory, and Jesus Christ is going to speak the word and put an end of all the sin we have on this earth. And then it says in Revelation chapter 20, they're going to be a new heaven and a new earth, because this old earth that we know of is tainted with sin. Now, there'll be no sin in that new heaven and the new earth. Jesus Christ is going to prepare a place for us, and a great place that is. He's coming again. Behold, it says he comes. He comes. He comes. Even so, it says amen. I tell you, you read about the Bible. If you read about your Bible or read in your Bible very much, you'll find that one-third of the Bible is about the second coming of Jesus Christ to this earth again. Behold, he cometh with clouds. And it says, every eye shall see him. The clouds of glory. The clouds of glory has been on this earth many times. The clouds of glory have been with Israel in the wilderness as they wandered in that desert for 40 years. A fire by night and a cloud by day. Day, Shekinah glory of God to lead the people of Israel through that wilderness journey. And I'm telling you, that same glory cloud has been here so many times. Whenever Jesus Christ ascended up into heaven, I said that he ascended out of the disciples' sight in that cloud of glory. That cloud of glory is coming again. That cloud of glory is going to reveal Jesus Christ one more time. And it says that every eye shall see him. You see, this is not the rapture. This is talking about the people here on this earth that remain. Everybody going to see him. You see, even those in the grave is going to see him. From Adam all the way to the last one is on this earth, they're going to see Jesus Christ, not as he was on the cross of Calvary, but as he is. The revealing, the unmoving of the glory of God is going to be seen throughout the whole world. They're going to see him. How's this going to happen? I don't know, but I believe the word of God, they shall see him. All the saints has died, they're going to see him. In 1 Thessalonians 4:16-17 says, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangels and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so ever we shall be with the Lord. That's the rapture. We long for his coming, but I really do believe they're going to be a rapture. I believe they're going to be a resurrection one of these days. We're going to the cemetery today, if God stands, and we're going to put somebody in that old cemetery, and most of us have someone already in that cemetery. But I'm telling you what, God says one of these days that these cemeteries are going to have to open up for those that know Jesus Christ, and the dead in Christ are going to rise first, and then we are going to remain, is going to be caught up together. They're going to be a rapture. They're going to be a resurrection. What God says, we're not going to stay in those graves. Whenever they put somebody in the grave, they just put an old hull in the grave, just an old body in the grave, and dust they are, and thus thou shalt return. But God will have no problem putting us back together again, because you see, he put the first man out of dust, and I'm going to tell you what, we're nothing but dust today, but God is going to put everybody back together. All the saints shall see him. We long for his coming because of the resurrection, and also because of the rapture that we know is going to come. With a shout of the lips of our Lord, he's coming back. I'm telling you this morning that Jesus Christ, the lips of our Savior, the mighty one, the one that walked on the water, I'm going to tell you, this Jesus Christ, from many words have been spoken from the lips of Jesus Christ. One time he spoke, Lazarus, come forth. And this man, Lazarus, came out of the grave. Jesus Christ is going to speak again. The voice, yeah, I'm going to tell you, will echo and it will vibrate through all the world. I'm going to tell you, in death empire, I'm going to tell you, will come crushing down, because the power of death cannot hold you. The power of death will not keep you. The grave cannot hold you in that grave, because Jesus Christ has the power over death and hell. He has a power over the grave today. And the bodies that have been buried in oceans for hundreds of years, I'm going to tell you what, they will come forth. It says they'll come from the north and the south and the east and the west. They're coming to Jesus Christ. When he says come forth, I'm going to tell you what, they're going to come out of the ocean. Those that died on the Titanic, I'm going to tell you what, they couldn't find all the bodies. And God knows where every one of those are at. I'm going to tell you what, we have World War I and World War II, and even before then, whenever the battleships had been sunken and many hundreds of men went down into their watery grave and never seen no more. Whenever God says, let there come, and I'm going to tell you what, they're going to come from the ocean. They're going to march out of the ocean by the hundreds. They're going to mark out of the ocean by the thousands. Whenever Jesus Christ comes and he says, let them come forth, the bodies will come from the ocean. They will come out from the sea. And even those that have been dead in the desert, in the fault in the desert, been buried in the desert, they're going to come forth today out of the desert, in the battlefield of the jungle, of the wars that have been fought in the battlefields of the jungle. I'm going to tell you what, they're going to come out of the jungle. But not only that, the graveyards, you and I, the old home family graveyard that you and I know today, where your family and my family is already buried at. I'm going to tell you, I don't care how thick a marble stone that you put upon on that person, I don't care how much you weight it down, I'm going to tell you, the power of Jesus Christ is going to burst forth, and those graves are going to be opened up. And I'm going to tell you what, Jesus Christ is going to stand at that grave and say, come forth. You and I might be in that grave, and that old dust already, we can turn back to dust, but God says, come forth, and he can put us back together again, because we're going to have a new body fashioned into glory, that we might understand what all the good things that God has provided for us in heaven. We're going to be reunited to that spirit and that soul that God has made for all eternity, and that body that God has made is coming one of these days to bring that body into the very presence of him, that we might enjoy all the good things from the foundation of the earth. You could enjoy heaven today in the body that you're living in now. He cannot allow us to go in heaven. It says flesh and blood cannot enter in the gates of heaven, because that's so flesh and blood and body is maintained by sin, and it's not pure. It's got to be purified. It's going through the dust of the earth, or either God's going to change us in the twinkling of a moment eye as we're going up. But we're going to be fashioned as Jesus Christ did. Will we know one another in heaven? Yes, we'll know one another in heaven. Do you understand how? No, I don't understand how, because it said that we'll be like him. And how are we going to identify one another if everybody's going to be like Jesus? I don't know, but it says that we will be, and I don't understand it, but there's a lot of things I don't understand that I believe, and I believe it's going to be just that way. The graveyards. Sometimes you see Arlington Cemetery, and sometimes you see the military graveyards, and maybe for miles and for hundreds and hundreds of crosses for men that's died and been buried in this graveyard. But they're going to look like plowed fields whenever Jesus Christ comes back and he brings them out of that old graveyard. I'm going to tell you, God has written resurrection in the world of nature that you and I live in today. And he's illustrated many, many different ways about his ability to rise, or to make people rise from the dead, even in nature itself. Did you know just a little kernel of grain of wheat that you plant in the dirt? Then it grows, and there comes a great head of wheat upon that little grain of wheat that was planted in the dirt. And the more it grows, you see, and the more it matures, and after it starts maturing, it starts turning downward, and it starts turning downward, and it starts turning downwards, and it goes down, and that wheat has to die, and that grain drops out of that head of that wheat and falls in that ground, and the moisture that God gives begin to have a resurrection again, and a new head of wheat begins to grow again. All through the nature of a history of our life, in the nature that we see the resurrection. You take a little old caterpillar. This little old caterpillar, it begins a life on this earth, and it's bound down, just a little old grub, just a little old caterpillar. But once in a while, this little caterpillar might lift his head from the leaf, and he look upwards and he said, there's no hope for me to soar up that high. And then before long, you see a coffin is made for that little caterpillar. He crawls inside that coffin and he dies to the world that's known to him. That's a mystery that we and I don't understand. But after he dies for a little while, remains in that coffin, and after a while we find out that coffin is shred apart, and that little grub, you know, it goes towards the sun, and that sun begins to warm that little grub, and you see it's made a metamorphosis change inside that coffin, and a beautiful butterfly comes out. That grub turns into that beautiful butterfly because of the warmth of the sun. And that's the same way it is for you and I. As we crawl into that old grave, that old coffin, we know the other day that God has got a great change for us. We're not remain that. We'll die to the things of this world. Whenever we're placed in that old grave somewhere or another, I tell you, be dying from the things of this world, just like that old grub, that old caterpillar dying from the things of this world. But you see, that's not the end of it. He's put it in the history, and he's put it also in the nature of mankind to look out upon this world and see that there's a resurrection if you never even knew the Bible, because you see, that's not the end. Whenever that butterfly or when that grub goes into that cocoon stage, and ever God makes a metamorphosis take place, and I'm going to tell you, sun and the time begins to heal, and sun and time begins to shine upon that little cocoon, and after a while you see that butterfly soaring up towards heaven. I tell you what, that's the same way it is for you and I. It's not over with the grave. It's just be a little while, and God's going to make a great change take place in these bodies. He's going to make a great change come to you and I today. The illustration of the nature of the resurrection and the future is here today, but not on that. We see the rapture in that Thessalonians 4:17. Then we which are alive remain shall be caught up together with him in the air. I said Paul would expect in Jesus Christ to come in his lifetime. The rapture, he says, you won't find rapture in the Word of God, but you find a lot of words that's talking about the same thing in the Greek language. It means the same thing. And it means to seize. It means to catch up. It means to take away. There's other places that same Greek word is used in the New Testament. In fact, four, I believe, if I'm correct. One of them is in the book of Acts, whenever Philip was called away to the Ethiopian eunuch and was telling him about Jesus Christ. When they told him about Jesus Christ, an Ethiopian eunuch accept Jesus Christ. When he's reading in the book of Isaiah, he said, where there is water, we're going to carry you down, we're going to baptize you. And then it says that he was speedily taken away. In a twinkling of an eye, he was taken away. That's one place it's meaning he was caught away. That means speedily. You and I, one of these days, are we alive? We're going to be speedily taken away at a twinkling of an eye. Another place is used whenever Jesus Christ was seized by force and they want to make a king out of him here on this earth. And it says, you know what? They seized him by force. And that's the same thing happened what's going to happen to you and I. We're going to be seized by a force, a greater force than this world has ever known, a greater force than what we know is gravity today, because we're going to have the force of Jesus Christ, and gravity could not hold Jesus Christ, and gravity will not be able to hold you and I today. The grave and the gravity could not hold us, and we're going to be seized away just like Jesus was, went and seized away at that time. Also in Corinthians chapter 12, when Paul was caught up to the third heaven, you know, he was taken away. That means he was taken away to a new place, and you and I, we're going to be caught away. We're going to be seized by a force, and we're going to be tucked away into a new place, a place we've never been before. Paul was carried to that third heaven, and a fourth time it's mentioned in the book of Acts chapter 23, Paul, when there was a mob, was going to do away with Paul, and were going to kill Paul and destroy him and just tear him apart. And the soldiers came and rescued him from danger, and that's exactly what's going to happen. We're going to, at the rapture, we're going to be rescued from danger, and that's the danger of the great tribulation here on this earth, where he's coming again, and he tells us what's going to happen to you and I. In 1 Corinthians 15:51-56, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we all shall be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trump shall sound, and the dead in Christ shall rise uncorruptible, and we shall be changed. Why we long for his coming? Because there's a resurrection. Why we long for his coming? Because I'm going to tell you what, they're going to be a rapture. And why we look for his coming? Because he's going to be revealed, a revelation of Jesus Christ. We are long for him this day. It says there in verse 8, I read to start with, in chapter 1, verse 8, ever I shall see him. I'm going to tell you, he describes himself in verse 8. He says, I am Alpha and Omega, the Greek alphabet. It's just like saying, I'm A and I'm Z. Every word that you might speak of today in the every library of their English language today, there are only these few words, a few letters. letters from A to Z, made up of all the catalogs and all the books, all the stories we find in the day in the English language is made up in these few letters a day, because it says there's millions of books and only 26 letters. The Lord in all his wisdom and all of his eternity and all and everything points to Jesus Christ in his word. I'm Alpha and Omega. I'm going to tell you, he is the God of the alphabet. He is the God of the faithful word. Jesus Christ is God's word. He is his full word. He is his final word. He says, I am the beginning and the end. The book, the end of eternity, it ends with Jesus Christ, because he said, I am the Almighty. Jesus Christ is the Almighty. Why do we long for him? And why do we look for Jesus Christ? He's coming again, because he's coming that we love him. His name has been confused on this world that we're living in today. You say Jesus Christ, a lot of things today, but Jesus Christ's name has been confused today. And not only that, it's been abused today. It's been laughed at. It's been scorned at. It's been mocked. But I'm going to tell you, the future is here. One of these days, I'm going to tell you, he will receive his own. He'll receive his own glory. He is coming again. Today, his deity, his mastery, I'm going to tell you, his glory is revealed, and he's coming that day. He's coming whenever God says he's going to come back. And when he steps on the curtain of the stage, his glory is going to be unveiled. The revelation of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ came the first time, I'm going to tell you, to take sinners' place. He's coming the second time to be the judge of all sinners. He came the first time as a lamb through the slaughter. He's coming next time as a lion there to be able to judge the world of sin. He come first time for the save the lost, but next time he have a vengeance on the ones that would not accept him. He comes first time with a message of love, and now the next time he come with a righteous judge to judge this world. He come the first time in humanity, but next time he's coming with a power in the glory of King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He come the first time in a robe of shame, but he's coming next time with a robe of glory, revealing of Jesus Christ. And we're looking and we're longing for him, because they're going to be a revelation of Jesus Christ. To know Jesus Christ that we have never known on him before. A lot of people know about Jesus Christ, but they've never known Jesus Christ. You need to know the one that I'm talking about this morning. You need to know the one that's coming back, that he's coming back after you. You're going to see Jesus Christ. Everybody in this building is going to see Jesus Christ. Everybody that's made an excuse not to be here this morning is going to see Jesus Christ. Everybody, every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord and glory to the God the Father. I'm going to tell you in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, 7, 8, it says, and to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus Christ shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels and flame of fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and not obeying the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. When he comes, I'm going to tell you what, he's going to be glorified in his saints, the saints of God. You and I is going to glorify him. Jesus Christ is going to reveal his deity. He's going to reveal his lordship. I'm going to tell you, a transaction is going to take place. I'm going to tell you, the glorification is going to take place of all the saints is going to take over. I'm going to tell you, now we're going to see Jesus Christ, and there, whenever we see Jesus Christ, they're going to be 10,000 times 10,000. Hallelujah going to burst forth from your lips today. Those people today don't want to sing. Those people want to make fun of the music. Those people don't want to sing. I'm going to tell you, one of these days, you can't help but saying praise to Jesus Christ. You might try to hold your tongue now, but I tell you, you'll not be able to hold your tongue when you come face to face with Jesus Christ. You'll have to praise the Lord for what he's done. You can say, Lord, hallelujah 10,000 times for what you've done for me and my family. Hallelujah that you allow me to be part of your heaven. Hallelujah that you allow me to be part of this resurrection body. I'm going to tell you, you might say, Lord, that I was stubborn. God, I was a God hater. God, but you said you sought me out, and I'm going to tell you what, and by your grace, I'm going to tell you what, I was ignorant, but Lord, I'm going to tell you, not one that understands, no, not one, and I was one of them, but you sent your own Holy Spirit of God in a service at Pleasant Hill one day, and I was listening to the Word of God, and the power of God got on me so strong, and my heart was open, and I could not stop. Whenever that invitation was given, I had to come forth. I had a hard heart, but I'm going to tell you what, the Holy Spirit of God softened my heart, it massaged my heart, that I could not say, but Lord, that I need you, that you opened up my heart. You might say that you poured your truth into my heart to understand that I'm a lost sinner, and there's nothing that I can do. I'm doomed and damned on my way to hell because I have sinned. I'm a bankrupt sinner. There's nothing I can pay God back for. Today, I'm going to tell you, if you're sitting here today and you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I'm not talking about membership. I'm not talking about baptism. I'm talking about being saved by the power of the blood of Jesus Christ applied on your heart by faith that God has given you today. You need to come today because, you see, you can't go to heaven except by Jesus Christ. I am the way and I am the only way. No man come to the Father except by me. If you're here today and understand this, if you walk out, you're going to walk out over the blood of Jesus Christ, and you might never have a chance to be saved again. This is your day. The truth has opened up your heart. I'm going to tell you, you've been bound with hate, bound with lust, and bound with greed and pride, but the Lord comes in and He changed us. And I'm going to tell you what, He presents you into Himself. I'm going to tell you, without spot and without blemish, one of these days, we're not perfect now, but we will be perfect one of these days where that new body is called forth. I'm going to tell you, He's going to be glorified through His saints. 2 Thessalonians 9 and 10 tells us, who shall be purchased with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power, when He shall come to the glory in his saints, and to be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day. The glorification of the saints. Not only that, they're going to be glorified by the angels. He's going to be glorified by the angel. Him, I'm going to tell you, marvel at the grace of God that Jesus Christ was willing to leave glory. And He's going to be glorified by the angel to come down to this old world. Whenever I see the bride of Christ coming to meet Jesus Christ, they're going to glorify God. He's going to be glorified by Satan himself, because Satan's going to have to give Him honor and glory. In Ephesians 2 and verse 9 and 10, it also says, wherefore God has highly exalted Him and give Him a name above every name, that the name of Jesus Christ every knee shall bow of things in heaven, things in earth, and things under earth, and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord, to the glory of God. Satan will have to admit. Satan will have to give glory to God. He'll have to admit not one redeemed person was ever lost. He'll have to admit this, and he'll have to force himself to be defeated knowing what Christ has done. I'm going to tell you, the lost church members and the lost people, they think they can stay home and not serve Jesus Christ. I'm going to tell you what, they'll be able to confess one of these days without no excuse what they did not do. Who shall he punish? I'm going to tell you, with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord. I'm going to tell you, he's come to reign and to rule. In 1 Timothy 6:15 and 16 says, also which in his time he shall show who is the blessed and the only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who only have immortality dwelling in the light which no man can approach, unto whom no man have seen nor can see, to whom he have honor and power for everlasting. He's coming again, and I'm going to tell you, as ruler, he's coming again as reign of our Savior Jesus Christ in his time. Jesus Christ up on Calvary, and he looks at all of us today and he says, you know, I love you so much, and I love you so much. And then you see the women sometime as he was carrying that cross up the hill. It says in Luke, they was crying for him and weeping. Luke chapter 23, it says, but Jesus turned unto them, the women, daughters of Jerusalem, weep not for me, but weep for yourself and for your children. I'm going to tell you, you need to weep for yourself and for your children. Many a person this day has made a mockery out of Jesus Christ and his church. Claim to know Jesus and will not bring their children to the house of God. That is a mockery in Christianity. That is a mockery to our Savior and Jesus Christ. Weep not for me, but you better weep for your children. You better weep for your children. The ungodly have their day. Jesus Christ was crucified. If he's here about today, they'll still crucify him. But Jesus Christ, one of the days, is going to come to reign and rule. One of these days. What's wrong today? Well, I'm going to tell you, there's a lot of things wrong because things are out of place. What's out of place? Well, I'll tell you one thing. The church is out of place because a church is the bride of Christ, and a bride should be with her groom. Satan's out of place because he said that God said I made the hell for the devil and his angels. He's not there yet, but he's going. Revelation chapter 20 and 10 says that's where he's going. And I'm going to tell you, he needs to be on his throne. And Jesus Christ coming back, and he's going to reign and rule forever and ever. That's why this day, the problem we're having, we need to be longing for his coming, and we need to be looking for his coming. And I'm telling you, I preach the word of God. He's coming again. He's coming again. Make fun of him, stay home. make other arrangements in your life. You do what you want to, but you're not going to change the fact that Jesus Christ is coming back, and everybody's going to see him, and they're going to give account of the reason they didn't serve Jesus Christ this day and worship him this day, the appointed time that God's called us. As we come with a song of invitation, God has done his part. He's talked to every heart in this building. He's talked your language. He knows exactly where you at in him. He knows where you believe in him. He knows if you don't believe in him. He knows if you're sold out for him. He knows if you're not sold out for him. He knows if there's something in your heart that's keeping you from coming down. He knows whenever you want to give it up and when you don't. I'm going to tell you, the Lord knows. He sees. He's all-seeing God, all-knowing God. But if you want to be saved, you understand that you are a sinner, and Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins, and if you ask him by faith, Lord, I want to repent. Don't forget that word repent, because it's not mentioned today in salvation for a lot of time, but you will not be able to be saved without repentance. Repentance unto the Lord, I'm telling you. And you come and ask Jesus Christ to forgive you your sins, and I'm going to tell you, he is a gentleman. He says, I have all power in heaven and earth. And he said, I'm forgiving you of any sin. Yeah, but you don't know what I've done. It don't matter what you've done. It don't matter who Jesus Christ is and his power. If you want to come to be saved, you could be saved this hour. If you'd come, we'd sing this invitation hymn. If we stand, please.